I would like to thank you for once again allowing me to stand up here. And I would like to thank those who have sent cards and have given me words of encouragement. And I would especially like to thank you for all the prayers. For those who have not stood up here, this is not easy, and it can be stressful, but I thank you for the prayers that have been offered. And I ask, as I did last time, that you overlook me and look past my stumblings and instead look at what the Lord would have you hear today. For today's reading, if you will, join me in Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We've all discussed how many times how John 3:16 has always been one of the most quoted scriptures, most well-known of all scriptures. However, recently it has come to my attention that there's a new verse that seems to be on the rise. And that scripture is Matthew 7:1. "Judge not, that you be not judged." This gives us the indication that the world is looking to be able to do whatever it wants to do. But yet, they still want to be accepted. They want to be comfortable. And so, one thing that most people have in common, regardless of your age, nationality, your origin, your color, male or female, the most of us want to be accepted. Now, Zacchaeus was not very well accepted. He wasn't liked by hardly anyone because he was a chief tax collector for the Roman army, for the city of Rome, who were the enemy. They were collecting taxes from the Hebrews and to fund their paganistic city where they had false gods. And Zacchaeus, the people did not take very kindly to being able to pay for false gods. Not only was he collecting taxes from them for the Romans, he was also cheating them, building great wealth for himself. And so, what I want us to look at in today's scripture is that Jesus went straight to a known sinner. In the midst of all those people that were there, he went straight to Zacchaeus and he extended his love and friendship to Zacchaeus, a known sinner. Now, if we look at what Zacchaeus, his response, he was joyful, because he was so glad to have someone who accepted him. Now, I want to pause right quick, and I want to make sure that we understand that This is not the acceptance of the sin, but simply the acceptance of a sinner despite what sins they may have committed. So Jesus simply approached Zacchaeus. He was not accusing. He just went to Zacchaeus and said, "Come down. I want to go to your house. We're going to spend some time together." And so Zacchaeus was so joyful. He began to repent. And this was not just a repentance in word. This was the repentance he put into action. He put his repentance into action and he made it public, because he went to the people. He decided that he was going to go back to these people who had wronged and make it right. So in order to do that, he had to go to them. And so in doing this, he became an example. An example of the forgiveness that Jesus extends to us as sinners. Now, unfortunately, this public confession that Zacchaeus did is one that is not happening nearly enough. How do we know that people are not confessing publicly? Well, a good way is the lack of understanding of forgiveness. An example that I would like to use is, in recent weeks, we heard this terrible shooting that happened at this church in Charleston, South Carolina. And what was the reaction of many of those families of those killed? They were forgiving. They did not have animosity. They did not show hatred toward this man. They said, "We forgive you." And what happened with a lot of the rest of the world and the media? They could not understand this. How could you forgive such an act as this? Something, such hatred. The world cannot understand this type of forgiveness. Now, if they cannot understand our forgiveness of one another, how can they understand that God can forgive them from their sins? So we know that not enough of our confession of our sins is being given. I would like to read another verse of Scripture, if you will, if you'd like to read along. We'd like to turn to James chapter 5. Beginning with verse 13. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, reading through the end of the chapter. It says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Now, first, I want us to notice that these verses are talking about making things public. We want to pray. We want to sing praise. In good times or in bad, if we need help from God, then we pray. If things are going well, then we give praise. And as we scroll down, we look at verse 16, and I want to focus on that, because verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Take our confession public. Yes, we may have already confessed our sins to God. God knows what our sin. He may have forgiven us for this sin. But this says, confess our sins to one another. Now why, if God has already forgiven us, why do we need to tell one another what we've done? That's not something that most of us are prepared to do. We don't like to tell our weaknesses or where we fail. But if you've been forgiven a sin, does that necessarily mean you won't be tempted by that sin again? Because we all have our certain weak areas. We all have those temptations. So we need our brothers and sisters to pray for us that we may resist recommitting those same sins, that we may be able to refrain from falling towards the sin. And so by confessing those sins, this helps us connect with people, because oftentimes us proclaimed Christians, the world likes to put us up on some kind of a pedestal, and they think that we don't face sin anymore because, oh, we follow God, so our life is now easy. We don't face sin. We don't have to struggle with temptations. We don't have a problem with these things. But we know differently. And by confessing these things, let the world know, hey, I am just like you. I follow God, and I do the best I can to not sin, but I'm still tempted. Also, you can share your own personal story with people. Tell them, I was a sinner. This is what I did. And God showed His grace to me, and He forgave me for that sin. Help them understand what forgiveness is. Now, maybe some people would say, well, I am a respected member of my community, and maybe you might say, well, I'm a leader in my church. I can't confess those things, those sinful temptations. That doesn't mean you have sinned. This just means you are tempted by these sins. But we may be embarrassed. We may be ashamed of those things. What would people think of me if they knew that I was tempted by these things? What a day I made a list. They might think you are a person who is approachable, a person who is just like them, a person they can trust, a person who won't judge them, and a person who they want to talk about their own temptations. They want to meet with you face to face, because they know you've been there. And just maybe you might have an answer for how they can deal with their own issues. It doesn't sound so bad when you put it that way. It doesn't sound so bad, because isn't that exactly what we want? Just like I talked to the kids about being that lighthouse. By confessing our sins and showing where we came from and the forgiveness that God has extended to us, that's just another portion of that light that people can see. It's just another part of our life, those temptations that we face. And maybe some of you have thought, as I have, well, how is it that I still face these temptations? Because I should be better than that. I am a church member. I read my Bible. I follow God. Why in the world do I still face these temptations? And then I'm humbled when I remember what the Bible tells me about what happened to Jesus when He was here on this earth, the way the Son of God was tempted. Who am I to think that I should be better than Jesus and not face temptations? If He wasn't above facing temptations, why should I be any better than that? Boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, you're getting ready to go back to school, a lot of you, so I want you to listen up. There's a lot of temptations that you face. Lots of times we have trouble doing the right thing, and maybe we don't know what to do. But did you know, they don't want you to know this, but if you want to know how to deal with some temptations, maybe you should ask your parents, because they know how to deal with temptations. A lot of them have dealt with those same temptations. They've been in school. They've been tempted to cheat on tests. They've been tempted of drugs. They've been tempted to gossip and lie on their friends, and they've had temptations with boyfriends and girlfriends, and there's all kinds of temptations that you face, and we think our parents don't know anything about that. If you really want to know somebody who's dealt with temptations a long time, you could even ask Grandma and Grandpa. Now, I know that's a shock, because we can't imagine that Grandma and Grandpa were ever tempted to do anything. But I'm here to tell you that I don't know of anyone who is escaping temptation. And if you are, please wait for me after church, because I'd really like to pick your pocket and find out exactly what you're doing that I might be helped. So hear my words. If you want to know how to deal with temptations, your parents have dealt with them. And you may be facing the same temptations, because earlier we heard Pastor Tim, he mentioned gossip, and gossip has no age. There's no age limit, young or old, on gossip. If you can talk, it can be part of your life. So if you want to know how to deal with these temptations, speak up. And parents, today we are all challenged adults. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you know some kids. If you're asked about your temptations, if you're asked about those past sins, please set down your shame. Let's set down our pride and be honest. Let's talk about those things. Because the temptation in itself, again, that's not a sin. The temptation is not a sin, but it does lead to sin. It can. So we must first admit these temptations and pray for one another. Now I want to look briefly at verses 19 and 20, because 19 and 20, this is our ultimate goal. It says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Now, this was challenging verses, and they can be interpreted in different ways. But today, what I want to take from those is living without Jesus in our lives. If you don't have Jesus in your life, then you're not truly living. And you're also in danger of the death, the spiritual death that's associated by not knowing Jesus as your Savior. And helping people to avoid the spiritual death, this is our ultimate goal. We want to make our confession, to make a connection. And that connection is how we can relate to people, that they may see the light in us. Because if Jesus Christ in all His glory can step down from His throne in heaven, come to this earth, and die for each and every sin, not just the people in this room, but every person can have that forgiveness. Jesus died for them all. So if we need to lay our pride down, if we need to get past our shame and confess those things which tempt us, those things which have caused us to sin, we need to do that if it means helping one person to understand the truth that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Thank you. If you would, please bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity, for this freedom that we have to come and worship you and to try to understand your word. Lord, oftentimes we let our pride get in the way of doing those things which can help others. Oftentimes we feel shame for those things which we have done. We feel shame for those temptations we struggle with. Lord, we know that it is through you and your grace and your mercy that we have forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, as we leave your house today, that we would not let anything stand in our way of helping someone to see that you can forgive their sins and that being a follower of yours is attainable. It is reachable. And they can be one of yours. Help us, Lord, throughout this week that we would seek out those who need a better understanding of who you are and what you can do for them. In Jesus' name, amen.